It's out. It's available. Is it going to be played anywhere or just for the home use?
Yes, indeed. John will be speaking at Leeds University in the UK this August, and they will release it as a premiere at Leeds in a theater. And we've talked about doing that. We think it's a wonderful idea because, of course, John is British, and his heart and soul is as an Englishman. So we're looking forward to that in August. So it will be at a screening there, and hopefully we'll have multiple screenings at Leeds.
Well, that sounds pretty impressive, John. You excited about that?
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Again, lecture in a top educational place is good.
John, let's talk a little bit about John F. Kennedy and his interest in this device. How did that come about? What happened?
What happened was that a lady in New Zealand named Mrs. Comer wrote to him about the IGV and the SEG. And it seems that he was taken up with the interest in this and wrote me direct. And in fact, a number of letters took place between us. He was interested to get support and help to develop this work. And unfortunately, the Air Force Base people, the scientists, returned the goods to say that they are sorry they couldn't help to fund it because it showed no signs of inertia. This is outside their understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's no inertia. Surely a sensible person will realize that if you release a roller to be able to free to move, and it immediately gets to its its cruising speed without acceleration being seen, then there can't be much inertia, if any, there. And surely that is simple to understand.
Now let's move ahead. You've had this device. You've got it perfected. It's been working. You can use it, as you said, in cars, experiment in planes. Use it. Every home could have it to electrically generate power for their home. Why hasn't a major utility bought the rights for you? Or why hasn't a major airline company who manufactures planes, why haven't they bought the rights from you?
Well, the motor industry, all of them replied saying that they could not see a magnetic-driven system in this century, filling the gaps of petrol and that. So we had the problem there that they could not understand that this magnetic system was not a normal magnetic system. Regarding the energy side, domestic side, the British section of the government inventions unit did tell the press they knew all about it. They thought it was a novelty. Of course, they couldn't see a small unit producing a mass amount of power because they knew that it took giant generators to produce electricity. And therefore, seeing the two items, they could not possibly see that being developed to power a city. So it's what we say, they're brainwashed to a particular concept, and anything different to that won't work. But they did agree, they knew about it, and that it was real.
Is it possible that they didn't believe you?
Well, they had to believe what they see, but they didn't believe that you could produce that sort of power for a city from such a concept.
From something so small.
Yeah, this is a problem.
And they wouldn't even experiment with it.
No. They would sooner put nuclear power stations in or coal power stations in than to look into this technology. Now, I think the biggest problem is they do not want to lose the support of the energy people when it comes to the voting. They fund a lot of money into their camps to help them to tackle the next election. They don't want to lose that. And the media, I think, changed their song from Don Sills to UFOs because they were afraid of losing the energy power adverts, which brought in their biggest amount of revenue.
Why can't we, Bradley, get Richard Branson from his Virgin Airlines to do this? Why can't we get Bill Gates to help fund something?
Oh, goodness. Let's give him a shout-out right now. John has had contact with some rather important people over the years, and I'll address this way. There's a beautiful line. My favorite John Searle line in the entire film is when he's standing in front of his home in Mortimer, where all of this was centered, 5 miles from Aldermaston, the Los Alamos of Great Britain. He says a really wonderful line that sums up his life, and that is that he says, once they see it, they want to own it. And that's been his problem all of his life. And he encapsulates it in greed and ignorance, which constantly has surrounded this man through his life. John, you want to address that?
Yes. The trouble seems that once they realize the teal figures, the dollars that were going to the teal, they want to own it. And basically, let's be frank, my trip just recently to Miami is presenting the same image. They want to own it if they're going to support it. And I'm afraid I have to protect the technology so that the whole world gets it, not any particular group. So we are still discussing how we can solve this problem, that they cannot own it, but they can be involved in the development of it, which will give them a reasonable good return on their investment.
And George, if I may, John, address for George and his audience the patent situation. What happened there?
Well, back in the 63, when they saw the patent application, they rang me up to say, never, never patent this. This is a know-how, and you must not give that away. And just then last year, my back in England and the solicitor talked to the patent people, and again they said that you couldn't patent it. Then we decided when the mock-up arrived here to take the mock-up and meet them personally with the solicitor and the backer, and they saw the demonstration and they said, yes, you can patent it, you can fill the application in now. But bear in mind that the patent details will be made public, and somebody will have to make it to be able to get a full patent. And if your interest is in the planet, then do not patent it. It's a know-how. Never, never patent a know-how.
Hmm. What do you think of that?
Well, at least that's the only way you can protect the system, because, as they said to me, you own it if you don't patent it, because you're the one who knows how to do it. As long as you keep that a secret, you're safe. But if you patent it, the whole world can get it, and those evil people who stole the equipment there will go to the bank laughing. They've now got the missing bit that's blocked them from doing it.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, John, and I'm not going to ask you for the specifics, obviously, but is there an obvious secret to this device that most people just don't know or understand that you have worked on and perfected over all these years?
Yes, people don't understand it because they're educated in yesterday. This is the trouble. The general public are today. They're not interested about yesterday and really not tomorrow. Scientists are yesterday people. They develop and they know all about where the person was born, their parents and that. Inventors are a special group of people who see the future and they bring the future out into reality. If it wasn't for them, life would be just one continuous day, just with season changes, like it is with all other animals on planet Earth.
That's true. Are you disappointed, Bradley, that he hasn't been able to get this sold?
Well, I'm as frustrated as anyone else, having studied it for this length of time. There are two things involved with the Searle effect. There's what John talks about in the device and what he's learned over the years, the Searle effect within a device, but there's also another effect, and I've noticed that it's an emotional effect. People observe it or study it or look at it, and it's almost a confounding thing in your own mind to think, this may be a panacea, this may be a paradigm-shifting unit that's going to take us from there to the future, and there's a frustration in that. And I've experienced it myself, and I see it in other people. It often takes the shape of a very contentious debate on different sites when they talk about Searle. You know, you have the bomb throwers come in and the name callers, et cetera, et cetera. But that's my experience with it. I like bringing him on your show here, George. I invite, and I look forward to the people that are far more educated than me to step forward and examine these fundamentals. This is what John is saying. Let's really see if this thing does work.
Didn't Tesla Motors receive some TARP money or something? I think they did.
Yes, recently. And, we'd love to say hello to them and introduce them to John. It's like we're doing with your audience. We put John up front when he speaks at Leeds, when he does this conference in New Mexico, the Extraordinary Technology Conference in the end of July. Put him up front and, you know, have at him.
He's John, here. Where would you manufacture if you had a big plant?
Well, anywhere in America, we have been talking to a number of companies. In fact, we are meeting them to discuss how we move forward. America needs this technology.
Absolutely. I'm in shock, John, that the Chinese haven't approached you yet. Maybe they have.
Well, they have just recently. They want me to go and lecture for 7 days in Beijing.
They're going to keep you.
Oh, they will. They love me.
That's a possibility, Bradley. You know, they've got all the money now. They may go ahead with this.
Well, I understand that's a great place to find neodymium, which is at the core of John's system. And, if they're that forward-looking, my goodness, we used to be. And, frankly, I would bet most of us still are. And I think that's a situation that John's been looking for. He really wants to come here. But like I say, his heart and soul is an Englishman, and he just looks forward especially to addressing his fellow countrymen in the UK.
John, you say we could get to the moon in what, about an hour?
Oh, yes. It's just a bus trip for the IGP. As I've stated already, the minimum force needed to get away from the Earth's gravity field is approximately 11.18 kilometers a second. The craft can triple and 10 times that with no trouble. Yes, the International Space Station is just a bus ride, let's be honest. And the moon is nothing more than a bus ride.
And I guess you could seal the craft from the Van Allen belt and everything else, right?
Oh, yes, yes. You see, the trouble is, it works on a very simple... It's the mass and the velocity that it moves at, that when an object is arriving towards it, if it's greater mass and velocity to the object coming towards it, the object is forced away from it. If the object coming towards it is greater in mass and velocity, then the craft is forced away. So there's a bow wave around the vehicle that protects it.
And you say Mars a couple months?
2 months only. Now, that's where it is. We just the speed, the velocity we need, and we'll do it in 2 months. That is the speed I feel best suited for the commercial development of space.
How much do you think it would take to get this up and running to build a prototype of, let's say, a car with this device?
Well, we are talking to a company in America on that issue. I want to produce a car to travel from east to west and back non-stop. That means you've got to have four drivers at two control points.
Yeah.
So that you've got to have sleeping quarters. You've got to have all the food, all the water, and sewage to be dealt with on the vehicle so you don't have to stop.
Almost like an RV, sort of, yep. Right? A recreational vehicle. And what do you think a device like that would cost?
Well, I suppose that it would cost us about $35,000 to have a decent machine made that is comfortable for the four people to sleep and live and cook and do their meals. And I would like to see the cooperation of the law enforcement units to clear the way for us, that we can communicate with them so that they can see the areas clear for us to pass through, so we can try to do the run to win the speed record.
Oh, you're going to go fast through them.
Yes, yes. We want to see 200 or more miles per hour.
Now, in theory, this generator would last forever, right?
Oh, yes, because there's no wear or tear. And the beauty about it, as the magnetic rolls are revolving, it is reprinting on the plate and on itself the magnetic information. So it's never lost.
I could just see the recall. The device is being recalled because it makes the driver disappear.
Yes.
You never know. But, I mean, it would minimize repairs. You know, you wouldn't have to bring your car in for a tune-up all the time.
Let's face it. With a car, you would only have the compressor to check the electric motors on the wheel every 2 years to just make sure that they're okay. What I was thinking of the particular vehicle concept would be that the first four wheels to be in a Caterpillar system. But you would have the high speed. The reason for that is if you hit ice, you'll be able to cope. You'll still be able to move at speed without losing control.
And I guess you've never teamed up, John, with a really sophisticated investment banker, right?
You're right.
I think if you're able to do that, you know, one of the big boys, then just have them go ahead and raise the funds, maybe start as a private company. I think you could get this up and running.
Yes. Well, the door's open to all these big companies, security, government officials. They're welcome to come in. They don't have to spy on me. Just come and have a chat.
Well,
and
like you said years ago, when you had your flying devices, the IGV, you invited the media in to film it, right?
Yes, yes.
And it's been in newspaper articles. Bradley, I remember in the documentary, the John Searle story, you had a lot of clippings from newspapers.
Yes, indeed. And they were quite widespread all the way down to New Zealand, through Japan and Australia, through Europe, in the UK, of course. John, you remember the letter from Major George Ulig in 1976. Tell George and his audience about that letter.
Well, let's get that when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, and it'll be your final hour, so we'll open up the phone lines as well. And Bradley, you were talking about some letter that John received earlier before the break?
Yeah, it was from Major Ulig in the Air Force in 1976. You'll see that in the film, and we'll get John to address it. And maybe, George, these are the more sensational aspects of the SEG. Perhaps we can steer him into telling your audience about the health aspects. Now, keep in mind, this can be a unit for your home that you put in your home. You power everything electrically in your home, independent, off the grid. And there are health aspects with this SEG running in your home, in particular with burn victims and its ability to ionize things. So, John, the letter from Major Ulig in 76, and then the health aspects.
Right, yes. The letter in question, the Major came to London to collect all the evidence that I had to offer regarding the technology and took back to Edwards Air Force Base for the scientists there to investigate. This was done under request of John F. Kennedy when he was the president. Mm-hmm. And the result from this research and study was that they regretted that they could not help to fund the work because it had no signs of inertia, which went against their understanding. So what they were saying to me, that unless the subject is in that cardboard box, they're not interested in it, no matter what you claim.
They didn't understand it, did they?
No, didn't understand it. That just beat them how this could function as it did. The other point I'd like to bring up when we're on this question of these experts is that one day we had a scientist from Aldermaston Atomic Works. He came to discuss about writing an article in their journal to ask everyone in the area to subscribe so much a week to the funds there to pay for me to stop all work and work on this technology. I had Reverend George Nixon with me as a witness. I asked him to come as a witness. And during this talk, everything was going well. And suddenly there was a news flash on the TV, which was not in my best interest, because it was the Air Commodore of Great Britain, a special message that they had seen this particular event, and that they asked me to return it, or when would it return? And I said, 7 days from now, next Sunday. They said, I don't believe you. You're lying. I repeated it again, and in the end I said, look, you stay here and find out. And they said, that's what we'll do. And apparently they did, because on Thursday at 3 p.m. our time, this emergency notice came up, and the Aircom Commodore announced that they were now going to pack up and leave, because clearly the craft was not going to return until Sunday. And therefore, if John Searle came out in the open, he would overrule the Americans and the Russians. While he's turning knobs, and that they were wondering who was doing what. And that if they never married this technology, when Searle hit the marketplace, they would be completely lost. And that's not the only person said that. Dr. I forgot his name now. That came. He also wrote the same letter to NASA. He came from NASA.
John, that would be Dr. Arthur Kane, yes?
Yeah, Dr. Kane, Arthur Kane. He wrote this article to his bosses that if they did not marry this technology, they would be completely out of the running when Searle hit the marketplace. Now, that's one of their own men telling them that, who spent 2 weeks with me studying and watching the experiments. And he agreed that the model he watched would reach the moon in less than 9 hours. Now, he's basing it on just the local demonstration I was given, because they want the space to really speed it up to show that it could do it in the hour. But even at just under 9 hours, that still was fast to get to the moon.
And John, now, as a power unit for the home, address the health aspects should you have one installed in your home.
Well, I can say from experience that having the SUG in your home to power your home makes the rooms negative, not positive, as your power systems do at this time. And I found that negative state is a much healthier state, especially when the steam hits your hands. It's a terrific stinging sensation. The skin is raw and sore. I found that my hand cooled very quick nearby the machine and healed very fast. And in fact, during all the 30 years I was running one, I never really suffered from anything. The air you breathe is like drinking fresh spring water. And I'm not the only person who said that to other people who had SUG to help them, because doctors have given them a short time to live. also made the same statement to me. It was like drinking pure spring water, cool and lovely. Want more and more of it. And
John,
that was the feeling I got.
And John, just one more thing to address the address for George and his audience: the neutralizing of nuclear material. How does that work?
That nuclear material means that it's lost a neutron, and therefore it's highly radioactive. On a demonstration back then in 68, scientists brought in strontium 90 for me to test.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little tube. They showed what the readings were before it went into the center of the SEG. After 5 minutes, they took it out and showed that the reading of it was less than the wristwatch they were wearing. They'd also used a sample of uranium and put that in, and the same effect. The reading was less than the wristwatch he was wearing, which showed clearly that if we made a really big, powerful unit, we could neutralize the waste. So it might be much cheaper to bungle all the waste onto a levity disk or inverted vehicle, whichever you like to call it, and shoot the stuff into Jupiter to deal with.
Let's go to some calls here. Let's go to Wayne, first of all, in Halifax, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Wayne, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, John? George.
Hi.
Now, my question is, when it's going so fast, how do you control it and stop it?
Well, the engine itself, you never stop. Even in a car, the SEG continues to run. You just got to switch off the power to the motors. The same with the craft. We drop the power till we eventually touch the ground. Then we shut it off. We don't shut it off completely. We can't. It just carry on running. But what we mean by shutting off, we're not discharging any energy from the vehicle. It's just cruising.
Yeah. Now, with magnets, what can you use, like they do in a crane, doing a magnet, so they hit a switch and then drop the metal. You know, you control it, you know, off and on like that.
But it depends how you're using it. If you're using it as a domestic power unit, then you just don't have to worry about it. You just carry on using your tools the same as using your mains. For the motor cars, it's basically just the same. You just turn off the power to the motors, but the generator carries on running.
All right.
It's basically a converter. It converts all the energy around itself, in the fabric around itself, into uniform motion. And you can then use that as